Let's join together to worship God and hear these words from the psalmist. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. Good morning, one and all. Great to see your faces and your names. And let's join together to sing to God's praise in Christ alone. I don't know about you, but do you remember that time when John Redwood was trying to sing the Welsh National Anthem and got halfway through it and then started, la, 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 la. That was me in that hymn. But God knew what was going on. So let's join together to pray. Let's pray. Loving God, as we journey towards the goal you set before us, we see glimpses of who you are, often too deep and unimaginable. Beyond the full depth of our imagination is you. What we see and feel spurs us on, for with you we know there is always more. God of the journey of life and the mystery of our very being, We confess that sometimes we are frightened to journey from where we are. We want to sit down and stay with these truths and this knowledge. And there are times when we go off on wild goose chases that lead us nowhere. We find our way back to you in sorrow for our failings and in pretense for our wanderings. Lord, forgive us. May we be enriched by your welcome, relieved by your forgiveness, and comforted by your all-embracing love. God, who reaches out to all creation from limitless heights. God, who is mystery, whose mystery sweeps across the skies, pouring out beauty. God, who is wisdom, entering the darkest of nights and sowing peace. God, who drips sweetness for us to taste and for us to share. May our words and our meditations of the worship we offer this day join the eternal dance of love. And we pray in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Sally, would you like to lead us?
Good morning. I want to think about journeys today, particularly long journeys. I don't know whether you like long car journeys or not. I personally really don't. Some people love them. I don't particularly. And they always seem to take a really long time when you particularly want to get somewhere. And then when you're coming back home, it seems to take about 2 minutes. It's just one of those laws of life. But along the way, we see certain things. And I've got some pictures that hopefully Richard will be able to display of things that we might see or notice along the journey. Fantastic. Not that one. That one. The first one is a nice view. I'm sure that perhaps you've been driving along or going on a train or something like that, and you've seen a particularly spectacular view. And sometimes if it's safe to do so, we can stop the car and we can get out and admire that view. And it's a moment of awe and wonder sometimes when we see the beauty of God's creation. Sometimes, next picture, Richard, please. Unfortunately, we see one of these. If we're very lucky, it's on green all the time, but in my experience, it's often not. We see traffic signals and, you know, we have to know when to stop, when to get ready and when to move on, when to go. Next picture. Sometimes we see traffic signs like this at crossroads and, you know, do we go straight on, do we go left, right, do we follow the sat nav or ignore the sat nav, or do we turn around where possible? Who knows? We have to make a decision. Where are we going to go in order for us to get where we need to be? Next picture. Sometimes we have to stop to refuel the car, otherwise we know we're not going to get where we need to be. sometimes that takes a relatively short time, and sometimes it takes a long time. Depends how busy the roads are and how busy the garages are. And our final picture, sometimes we're forced to stop because something goes wrong with the car. Or maybe we stop because we see someone else is in trouble and we stop to help them. I don't know. You can see a massive puncture there in the car tire. So sometimes we're forced to stop to help ourselves, to repair ourselves and our cars, and to help other people. So we all know that feeling of being on a long car journey. And sometimes there are surprises, nice surprises, and some not so nice surprises. And in our worship today, we're thinking about how our whole life is like a journey. Sometimes we can stop and just be in awe and wonder and celebrate what's happening in our life. Sometimes we need to stop to refuel if we're tired or feeling poorly. Sometimes we have to stop to help others. Sometimes we have big decisions to make, and we have to know when to stop, when to get ready, and when to carry on. And for Paul, in our reading today, he knew his destination, and he knew it was well worth the ups and downs of the journey. Thank you.
So Bron will read to us the passage from Philippians. Paul sets out his credentials and then goes on to talking about the fact that faith in Christ is not an easy road. And then the next reading will be read by Linda Austin, which is a parable of the vineyard, which starts off for the first hearers as familiar stuff, but there is a sting in the tale.
Good morning. The first reading is from Philippians 3, and we're starting at verse 4b. If anyone thinks they can trust in external ceremonies, I have even more reason to feel that way. Okay, I'll read this version. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me now, I consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, because like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Amen.
And now from Matthew chapter 21. Listen to another parable Jesus said. There was once a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a hole for the wine press, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to tenants and left home on a trip. When the time came to gather the grapes, he sent his slaves to the tenants to receive his share of the harvest. The tenants grabbed his slaves, beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, the man sent other slaves, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. "Surely they will respect my son," he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the owner's son. Come on, let's kill him and we will get his property." So they grabbed him, threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Now, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? Jesus asked. "He will certainly kill those evil men," they answered, "and rent the vineyard out to other tenants, who will give him his share of the harvest at the right time." Jesus said to them, "Haven't you ever read what the scriptures say? The stone which the builders rejected as worthless turned out to be the most important of all. This was done by the Lord. What a wonderful sight it is. And so I tell you," added Jesus, "the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce the proper fruits." The chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus's parables and knew that he was talking about them. So they tried to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowds who considered Jesus to be a prophet. Amen.
Warm greetings to you, whoever you are, wherever you are. If we can help you, please let us know. The readings that I'm preaching from are Philippians chapter 3, the second verse, the second bit of verse 4 to 14, and then Matthew 21, verses 33 to 46. For the writer to the Philippians, "Forgetting what is behind me and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus." Verse 14. This was the focus of his life, pressing for the prize in all its fullness. And the prize comes from Jesus Christ, and everything else is frippery. For the tenants in the vineyard, their focus was money. And that is what they were prepared to murder for. What would or do you live? What would you be prepared to die for? In some parts of the world, it's land. The land that people believe to be theirs. Land that people protect by keeping others out, even if it means making it a criminal offence to rescue people who might drown at sea, like the UK. People have fought backwards and forwards over yards. Thousands have died. And again, we British have that in our history. From the writer of Philippians, what matters, what is worth straining everything for, is the heavenly call in Christ Jesus. And what about us? What do we live for? In this season, is it enough to live for staying alive? The danger that we focus on keeping ourselves alive and keeping ourselves safe. And then what? Worry, for many, is the next answer. Obsess about the news. Keep away from the many wholesome things that give us joy, and then wonder ultimately, what is the point? What is the point of a life centered on keeping alive to keep alive? Who are we serving today? So to the readings. In Matthew, three times the temple leaders ask Jesus about his authority. Three times he replies. This is his third effort. The first time he discusses with them about the authority of John the Baptist. The second time he tells them the story of the two sons. And now we have the story of the wicked workers in the vineyard. Vineyards, for the first people listening to this story, would have been a familiar metaphor. From their scriptures, the prophet Isaiah speaks of a love song to the planted vineyard. And we get mention of vineyards in other prophets too. Familiar, a place of growth, where the responsibility was in looking after the crops. Culturally, the leasing of land to tenant farmers was a common experience in the first century. Landowners would expect tenants to turn over a portion of the crop, and those who failed to meet the landowner's standards would be removed from the land. And of course, the landowning elite didn't get their hands dirty. They usually paid somebody else to remove them, same as now. In reality, many in Jesus' audience would have understood the experience of the farmers all too well. If they chose not to pay the landowner, as is the case in Jesus' parable, the landowner could easily get new tenants. For us, the behaviour of the owner of the vineyard in sending his son looks like naivety. That's because we don't live in a society so marked by hierarchy and social shame. For the owner of the vineyard, it was inconceivable that the tenants wouldn't respect the son. They didn't. They killed him. The tenants are producing crops. They are producing. But they are not producing the fruits of the kingdom. It's easy to get so focused on what we are doing and forget about why we are doing it and how we are doing it. And it's easy to get suckered in by money, to make it our complete focus and to believe that the more that we have and the more that we keep, the better everything will be. But let's not be sentimental. There is a base level of poverty, which means that money can become all-consuming because of the need for rent and food. But beyond that, what? Before we rush past the notion of the ownership of land, it's worth a moment's reflection. Can you actually own land? You can borrow it for a time, but can you actually own it? How we view land says a lot about us. We are usually very distant from it, with laughable stories about children looking at sheep and thinking that they're a camel, knowing that you need potatoes to make chips. Or not our urban lifestyle makes us distant from the earth. But in Jesus' teaching, God has granted to us to be used for the greater good of the kingdom. And that is our test each and every day. The challenge then is to be part of a people, to be a person who produces the fruits of the kingdom. How are we serving Jesus Christ in this time? Usually our church life is focused on serving in workplaces and universities and school and offices and hospitals, through the voluntary sector, through our family, serving in our homes and in the church building. Much of this is gone and the rest of it has changed. How are we serving today? And is serving Christ, is it enough to say that we are serving by keeping ourselves safe? The writer of the letter to the Philippians describes who he is by a series of external relationships about birth and tradition. The point is not that these externals are pointless. It is that without the Spirit's regenerative power, they are fruitless. By way of illustration, he uses himself as a negative example and goes through a list of who he is and all the things that he once thought of as important. Then the word, but. And he contrasts his own mindset with his new one. And Paul values knowing Christ because he has come to see that it's only in union with Christ, and not on account of his natural qualities or achievements, that he may stand before God. So the question for us is, what do we value and what will we give our lives for? The writer of Philippians at one stage gave his life to persecuting Christians. Then he encountered the risen Jesus, and from then on, the only thing that mattered was knowing Christ. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, he says. And that is part of a life's work. A glorious, joyous ride which all of us can take a part in. It's not about stuff. It's not about land. It's not about arrival either. In the final section of the passage, the writer moves from the accountant metaphor to the sportsman. The challenge to press on to win the prize. The sense that there was more. The writer makes it clear that there is more to learn and more to do and more to be. If we are in the world of God, then there will always be more. More to learn, more to experience, and curiosity is needed. With God, there is so much to explore, regardless of our age, regardless of our intellect, and regardless of any physical confinement. Equally, pressing on makes it clear that effort is needed. We believe that our salvation is a gift, but living it well and keeping ourselves on track requires discipline. Amen.
We join to pray. Let us pray. God of one and God of all, we pray for those who don't know who they are. Those who don't understand themselves and don't understand their place in society. We pray for those who don't fit in, who are or seem to be different and feel themselves to be excluded, and understand that somehow their gifts are not valued. Lord, we pray. We pray for those who don't know where they come from, don't know about their heritage or their home, their family or their bloodline. We pray for those who feel lost and isolated, confused and afraid, rudderless, homeless, strangers in a strange land. for those who wish they were someone else. For those transitioning to be someone else. For those who wish they were somewhere else. And those getting ready to move, getting ready to leave. For those whose lives are chaotic, those who lack the discipline, the gifts to do what they know to be right for them. And for those who at this time are cut off from all those things that help them to stay on track and to thrive. In your great mercy, Lord our God, hear our prayers in the silence for those who weigh heavily upon us. Hear our prayers and grant surer journeys for us all. Lord, we pray. Amen. Drum roll, please, ladies and gentlemen. Here it is, the news of the gift day. So far, the total giving is £44,000. Of course, that's not complete. There's gift aid to come in, which is not an insignificant percentage that has to be added. And then, of course, I would remind you of what I told you last week of the gift from Marguerite Scott's estate, which arrived at the same time, coincidence, of £16,000. So as a community, we are grateful to God for the movement of the Spirit, which has flowed through us to our checkbooks and fingers to give remotely. We are grateful to God for that. And for those of you who are still waiting for the Spirit to flow, this has been a tremendous start and in my opinion, gives us space to reflect and wonder about the future. And we are grateful to God. So we will now do a remote and memory test, and I will mute myself so I don't embarrass myself. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, you heavenly host. Praise the Creator, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Go on, let's try that again. I'm not talking to myself. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, you heavenly host. Praise Creator, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. I was thinking first thing when we were having technical difficulties with that hymn. It's one of the great things about the fact that we're all remote, that because if we'd been in the worship space and there's been something that had gone wrong, I'd have made you all sing Jesus' Love is Really Wonderful. So you want to be grateful that we're all on Zoom. You know, you escaped it. Hooray, you didn't have to, and all the other stuff. And the other thing that's really great is that some people here this morning on Zoom have got colds. And if we were all together, they wouldn't be here. Just, so that's, you know, a plus. We wouldn't want them bringing their sneezing and coughing, but now we're all together, joy. Next Sunday will be harvest. Oh, there's Richard coughing. Next Sunday will be harvest, and we three sorts of gifts. For those of you who want to give as part of it, yeah, tins and packets, you will be getting, or you already have got instructions from the food bank about what they need and what they don't need. I will send out again to everybody on notices today. Bring it into the building. Oh, I mean, I know that others of you will give in other places, but if you want to give practically to the food bank, Catherine and George are happy to receive gifts into the church building and then organise them to the food bank. If you want to, we need people who would be part of the distribution of the church harvest gifts. These aren't big gifts of tins and packets. There are sort of little, what in my culture you'd call a minding, a little something just to remind people that we're thinking of them. If you're up for being part of the distribution of those gifts, what usually once upon a time was a gift to the shut-ins, well, blimey Charlie, that's all of us now, but anybody, just a little reminder, would you speak to me, would you send me a message, please, that you'd be prepared to do that. And then finally, one of the things that we do as part of our giving around time of harvest is gifts to the world's poorest. We might have food, we might be grateful for clean water, but others do not have that. So gifts that go through Commitment for Life, which is a United Reformed Church programme, to Christian Aid. If you would donate via the church funds as usual and label it that this gift is for Commitment for Life, that would be great. I will have details about Jean Lemon's funeral on Zoom, which I will share later. Just to tell you, everybody is welcome to that. Today, there will be COVID-safe worship at 5 o'clock. Everybody's welcome. Everybody's welcome if they wear a mask, don't have any symptoms, sanitise their hands, leave the track and trace details. Everybody's welcome. So come if you wish. Coffee service, of course, in the worship space on Mondays and Thursdays at the moment. Come for the company if you're feeling yourself isolated. And remember, I'm happy to talk with anybody. Give me a call. I'm not always available. I would tell you about a really hideous moment this week when I was getting in the shower and Alice suddenly sent me a video call. That didn't happen. So I'm not always available, but I will phone you back. So, you know, get in touch if you'd like to. And I'm happy to meet with you if you're happy to meet with me. And I'm happy to go for a walk with you or sit outside and wrap up warmly and have a coffee. You know, send me a message. That's good. So now I'm going to dedicate the offering and I'm going to dedicate the bread and the wine. And if you're not equipped yet for Holy Communion, now is your chance to rush around your kitchen. So we pray. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness we have this bread to offer, which earth has given and human hands have made. It will become for us the bread of life. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness we have this wine to offer, fruit of the vine and the work of human hands. It will become for us the cup of salvation. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness, we have ourselves to offer, fruit of the womb and formed by your love. May we become your servants in the world. Blessed be God forever. Amen. And hear the narrative of the institution of the Lord's Supper as it was recorded by the Apostle Paul. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, He took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So in the name of the Lord Jesus and following his example, we take bread, we take wine, and we give thanks. Let us pray. Lord God, we are all so different, each our own being, and yet you love and care for us all. You nurture and protect us all. How can we not be thankful for all that you have journeyed to offer us, and for all that journey with you means? Thank you. Thank you that you guide us in unexpected ways to find the right way to live. Thank you that when we wander, you draw us back to you. You give us direction and encourage us to follow where you lead. Thank you that you know our individual needs and quirks and yearn for us to be on the journey of life with you. Thank you that the pains of life can be overshadowed by the joy of journeying with you. Thank you for bread and wine, symbols of you giving yourself for us. Thank you for the strengthening of this time and this table, for the journeys that are ours and the challenges that each of us faces. For all these blessings and more, we give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' name, Amen. He took bread, blessed it, broke it. "This is my body," he said. "It is broken for you." He took wine, poured out and blessed and shared among them. "This is my blood," he said. "It is shed for you." The body of Christ. Blood of Christ. So we pray. Creator God, who calls us to follow, we are on journeys, individual journeys and shared journeys, internationally shared journeys. Experiences that are ours alone and ours together. Guide us on our journey this day, this week, and help us, each of us, to keep our eyes on the goal, and give us the guidance of your Spirit to work out what that means day by day. Lord, we pray. Amen. Let's join to sing our final hymn, When I Survey. So let us go from this time of worship with food for our pilgrimage. Let us go in peace and in gladness. Thanks be to God for God's gift that is beyond words. Amen.